Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 in your Bible. We're going to have one verse out of this chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and the very last verse in this chapter, chapter 9, verse number 15. So find that, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15. I'll read that for us in just a moment. And we'll honor God's word by standing in just a second when you found that, and then we'll enjoy a special jump right into the message. All right, got that? Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And let me read. In fact, let's read it all together, okay? We're reading verse number 15, the last verse in the chapter. Ready? And let's read. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. That's a great statement, isn't it? Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. All right, let's pray. Our Father, thank You for Your unspeakable gift. Help us as we talk about it this morning. Speak to our hearts. Use Your Word, please. It's powerful, it's quick, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray, God, our hearts would be in such a condition that You could use Your Word like a fire that would melt the wax of the candle. Lord, help our hearts not to be a hard old stone. Have to use a hammer on a stone. So, Lord, speak to us today and help us to bring a very tender heart to the service and increase our appreciation for Jesus and our love for Him. And I'll thank You for it. In His name I pray all these things. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. For yonder
appreciate that. That's a great Christmas song for this season. I enjoy it. I'm always glad when somebody sings it for our services here during this time of the year. We're talking about thanks be unto God today for His unspeakable gift. So that means a gift beyond words. A gift beyond words. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for that holy night in which Jesus Christ was born, sent to this earth, the body of that little baby. Thank you, God, for that day, that evening, that night. God, I pray that you'll help me today. I certainly need your power. I need your grace. I need your touch, Holy Spirit. I am just a man, and Lord, the best of men are men at best, and I don't fall in the category of the best men, so I'm in need of help. I need you. I pray that you'll help me, fill me, use me, make me a blessing in the service, and use your word, I pray, in our hearts today. Holy Spirit of God, please come give us a liberty that only you can bring. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we ask this, and amen. There are two chapters in the New Testament that teach more principles about Bible giving than any others, and they are 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. If you've been in church here faithfully, we have looked again and again at these two chapters to learn about New Testament grace giving. In this chapter, in these two chapters, Paul talks about the blessing that those people will receive as they give to meet the needs of the poor saints in Jerusalem. And he talks about the blessing the people in Jerusalem will get because of the people's generosity. So really that's the context of the two chapters, 8 and 9. Now, after all the principles are taught, and after all the challenges have been delivered to their hearts, and after all the promises have been mentioned, and after all the explanations are over, Paul closes the whole discussion with an 8-word sentence. You see that verse number 14 ends with a period. So that means verse number 15 is its own sentence in itself. And Paul closed out these two chapters in which we are encouraged to be involved in New Testament grace giving by saying these 8 words, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. So, Paul reminds the people who he's been challenging to give, he reminds them that God gave to them. And I want to remind us of that fact this morning. And I want you to notice that Paul called that an unspeakable gift. Indescribable. Beyond words. What cannot be uttered. Did you ever receive a gift, either Christmas or birthday or anniversary, did you ever receive a gift that left you speechless? Not because it was so bad, okay? You ever got one of those before? Well, okay, what am I supposed to say here? Thank you, and all right, another fruitcake. Amen, all right, so, you know. Not because it was so bad, but because it was beyond words. Beyond words. Now, some of you who've been in church, you have heard me tell this, so please don't grow bored with it. But when I was a boy at home in Atlanta down there, my brothers and I never will forget coming down. We lived in a little cracker box house inside the city of Atlanta when I was young, and on Westridge Road. I still remember the address, 1339 Westridge. And so we lived upstairs, little cracker box house. You remember the 1950s, folks bought the house back then, the 60s, you know. But anyway, there it was. And we came down the steps and around the corner. The steps came down into the kitchen, and we came around the corner, and there sat for Tim and I. Tom was left out because he was too little to have. But there sat for Tim and I a brand new, sparkling green spider bike. Now, I'm dating myself. If you can go back to a spider bike, all right? We're talking about banana seat, okay? I mean, this was new, folks. This was not something that had been around for a while, you know. This was cutting-edge bicycle stuff, buddy. So, banana seat and those U-shaped handlebars and that slick back tire. It had no tread on it. No tread. It was slick. And then you took baseball cards and took a clothespin and you clipped the baseball cards on the spoke of the tire, so that when you rode it down the road, it sounded like you had a muffler. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm saying, right? Okay. And you know, being in Georgia as opposed to Illinois, you know, Christmas Day was like 50 degrees. You know, humane. you know, and you know, and you know, caring and loving. You'll be there next week, Brother Morth. So it was 50 something. So we there were a couple other presents under the tree, but that was the big thing. That was the main thing. And to be honest with you, we lost all consciousness of the other presents. We didn't really care about what else was in a package. We wanted to get outside and get on our spider bikes and ride down the neighborhood, you know, and see who else, what else everybody else got for Christmas Day, you know. And I'm telling you, my brother and I mean, it was like we were just speechless. We just, you know, at the spider bike. Some years ago, for my birthday, my wife and what children were home then, I can't remember how many were home, but we met at Jason and Hannah's townhouse up there in Elgin, where they live, and to celebrate my birthday. And so here was this great big package, and so we had the cards and the singing. And so then I opened up the package, and it was a nice Plano bow case for my bow. And I had a good Jennings bow, split limb Jennings bow, that had killed some deer, you know, because guns kill people, bows kill deer, you know. And so so I remember thinking, this is nice. And then I was looking at it, you know, and touched it, and I said, oh, this is nice. I don't have a bow case like this. I can carry it now. And they said, open it. So I opened it, and there was a card in there. And I opened up the card, and it was a gift certificate to Sportsman's Edge over here in Braidwood. And it was a gift certificate for enough money to buy a brand new decked out Matthews bow. Now, if you're not into archery, Matthews is the top of the line, like Chevrolet. You know what I'm talking about, okay? Like Chevrolet. Okay, Matthews is the top of the line. I just lost half the crowd, amen? But anyway, okay, like a Ford. Yeah, right, okay. But anyway, Matthews is the top of the line as far as bows go. And I mean, I won't even tell you what the gift certificate was worth. It was worth a lot of money to go get that bow decked out. And I remember I didn't say anything. I couldn't. I was choked up, and I think the tears came to my eyes because I just could not believe that my family, my wife and the kids, had put that much money together. I wonder where they stole it. Amen. I mean, you'd have to wonder, and where they put that much money together to go buy that. And I couldn't. I still have that bow, and love it. And it was one of those unspeakable gifts. I remember when you brought Ben and Ashley home from Madagascar. I remember sitting right down here. And, you know, Brother Brown, in retrospect, Brother Brown couldn't hardly keep that a secret, could he? He was, and I wouldn't catch it on. And I thought, well, maybe they brought Ben and Ashley home. But then when you put him on the video, I thought, well, you know, he's tough. So I was trying to listen intently to what he was saying on the video. And then next thing I knew, my wife jumped up and said, no, I think this is my recollection. And my son said, happy 20th anniversary. And I just bawled. I couldn't say anything. People said, why didn't you jump up? I couldn't. I was bawling. And what tickled me was after all that hugging and everything, and Ben was still talking in the video. I mean, which is par for the course. And you teachers in school would say amen to that. You know, I said, but I remember, and those of you that were here years and years ago in the old building, the church gave me a cell phone on my birthday one time. But that wasn't a speechless gift. That made me talk, amen. So that was a Nemeth joke, okay? I'm sorry. Anyway, it was a bad Nemeth joke at that, wasn't it? Okay. But I'm talking, have you ever gotten a gift that left you speechless? Hard to find words. And you feel so empty just saying thank you. You feel so small. So Paul simply said, thanks be to God for His gift that was and is indescribable. It is impossible to put in words how wonderful His gift is. You say, what is God's gift? Well, we let the Bible answer that for us, right? The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. That's a gift. His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Romans 6:23 says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the Bible tells us, answers the question, what is God's gift? God's gift is Jesus Christ. That little baby in Bethlehem's manger is God's gift to the world. And wrapped up in that little child is salvation. eternal life in heaven as opposed to eternal death in hell. Everybody's going to live somewhere eternally. And we'll spend our eternal existence enjoying life in heaven, or we'll spend our eternal existence experiencing death in hell. That doesn't sound very appealing. But in that manger, wrapped up in that child, God's gift to the world is our way to heaven and way to not go to hell. Now, indescribable gift, a gift beyond words, an unspeakable gift. Let me put some thought to this for us today. Number one, unspeakable because of its price. Unspeakable because of its price. You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 20 says, "For ye are bought with a price." And chapter 7, verse 23 says, "Ye are bought with a price." God's gift is beyond words. It is indescribable because of its price. Do we comprehend? I'm not sure we do fully comprehend what salvation cost God. It cost Him His Son. Folks, when God provided salvation for us, He did not raid His bank account. Truth of the matter is, if God had had to go to His bank account to buy our salvation, it wouldn't have hurt Him at all. Because He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And He owns the hills and the gold in those hills. He owns it all. He owns it. All. He owns all that is in the world. Had salvation cost God billions and trillions of dollars, that would be no problem because God owns it all, including what you and I call our own. We don't really own that. We simply get to use it. Well, God, the one who owns it lets us use it. Job learned that. Job was the richest, wealthiest man in his day. And God gave everything that Job owned to Satan. Everything. So God owns it all. Had God sent salvation to the earth and then received a bill in His heavenly mailbox for some huge amount, this is the cost that you must pay for salvation, X dollars, I mean zeros after zeros after zeros, it would have been no problem for God because He owns it all. But He only had one son. I think our verse says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only." He only had one son. And He and that son had been in fellowship and a relationship with each other forever and ever and ever in eternity past. Back, 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 way before there was a Garden of Eden, way before there was an Adam and Eve, back, 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 before there was ever an earth, a heavens and earth, back, 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 way back in eternity past. You and I can't wrap our minds around it. We can't get it. The thought of eternity, our mind shuts down trying to comprehend it. As far back as before time. God and His Son had been in perfect fellowship with each other, face to face in wonderful fellowship and relationship. And then came the day when Jesus left heaven and came to this earth in the body of that little baby in Bethlehem's manger. And though they were still apart, God was in heaven and Jesus was on the earth. They still had complete fellowship. Oftentimes, Jesus spoke to His Father. And said, in fact, one time He said, "I'm glad that you always hear me." And He had good fellowship until Jesus went to Calvary. And when He laid His body down on that old rugged cross, and those Roman soldiers drove those nails through His hands and His feet, and they lifted that cross up in the air and threw it in that hole, and after about the third hour of hanging on that cross, the sky became as dark as midnight. And Jesus Christ cried out from that cross, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Everybody else was already gone. Peter was gone. The disciples had fled. All of His friends were gone. But now, the worst blow of all, His Father, His own Father. Now stop for a minute, folks, and just try to get your mind around it a little bit. They've been in fellowship from eternity past. Now it's broken. You know why it's broken? Because in that moment, God took all of our sin. He took all of our lying and all of our selfishness and all of our wickedness. He took all of our sin and He placed it upon Jesus Christ. And He judged Jesus Christ as if Jesus was guilty of our sin. And God had to turn His back on His own Son. And that's why in the middle of the day, the sky became as dark and black, as black as midnight. That's the price, friend, of God's gift. Salvation is free to you and me, but it costs God everything. That's why it's indescribable. Because of its price. Can I give you a second thought this morning? Not only is the gift of God indescribable because of its price, it's indescribable because of its practicality. I love this thought. In Colossians chapter 3, verse number 4, Paul said these words, Christ, who is our life. In Philippians 1:21, Paul said, for me to live is Christ. You see, God's gift of Jesus Christ is more than just a fire escape from hell. It is a relationship, a life that people can enjoy and benefit from every day. And not just once a day, but over and over and over and over again. All day long we can enjoy our salvation. Did you ever receive a gift and when you opened it or when you got it, you wondered, okay, how am I going to use this? Will I ever use this? You really wondered about its practicality. And then you found out, oh man, this is great. Our second Christmas in Marion Avenue, when I worked for Brother Brown out there, by the time the 1981 Christmas rolled around, he had two children and we had Hannah. Hannah was born in March of 81. And so in December of 1980, at our first Christmas there, the church had given us both a monetary Christmas gift for Christmas. And it was nice and came in handy. And so the church, we had the service before Christmas, you know. And he's got a couple children. We got a child. And so after the service, one of the deacons comes up and says, Preacher, we have something for you and Brother Terry. And they came in the back doors, much like they did for my wife a couple weeks ago with those rocking chairs. They came in from the back door with this box, these boxes. And they were wrapped, they were good-sized boxes, and they were wrapped with Christmas paper. And they brought them up, and they made us open them in front. And so we opened it up, and here was a microwave oven. Now, this is 1981. Microwave ovens are like $600 or $700 each. They're huge, huge things, okay? And I'm looking at it. I didn't even know what it was at first. I'm looking at it, and I don't know if it was my wife or something. It's a microwave. And so, I put a smile on my face as I was thinking about the cash money that could be in my hand, you know, instead of the box. I put a smile on my face and thank you. And I took it home and I put it in the kitchen. But brother, would I ever underestimate the practicality of a gift? Because you see, no longer would I have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, put a pot on the stove with some water in it and a bottle of formula in there and let it heat up and get warm and wait and wait and wait at 3 o'clock in the morning. You say, you didn't get up. Yeah, I did once in a while. Once. Maybe one time. I did my part, buddy, one time. Amen. Man, that's right, one time. But seriously. No, I mean, folks, you know, I'm not old, but I mean, we go back to the days of cloth diapers and the diaper pail. Some of you mothers, bless your heart. All you've ever known is throwaways. Amen. I don't complain, though. Thank God for throwaway diapers. Amen. I mean, back to the days of the cloth diapers and the pail and washing them out in the toilet. I'm talking about them. Put them in the... it was nasty. And putting those bottles on the stove and those little pans and heating that water up and waiting and waiting and waiting and then squirting some of it out on your wrist to see that it's not too hot. Y'all with me? Half the crowd's going, huh? Well, you know, yeah. And now after a few seconds in the microwave, hey, we're ready to feed. You talk about underestimating the practicality of a gift. I wouldn't know how to live without one now. What? No microwave? Well, you live in the dark ages. What are you doing? You know, what's the matter with you? I underestimated the practicality of that gift. When I received the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ over 35 years ago, I had no idea how it would impact my life practically every day since 1975. The joy of salvation and the peace of salvation and the person of salvation and the warmth of salvation and the love of salvation and the comfort of salvation, what it's done for my life on a daily basis. I didn't just get a fire escape from hell. I got a practical relationship with the Lord Jesus. When nobody is in my car and I'm tired of listening to music, turn the Rolling Stones off. I'm just kidding, okay, all right? I'm feeling good today, okay? Me and Brother Payne, he's feeling good. I've been watching him. He just smiled. He's on Vicodin down here. Hey, boy, I could call him a dog and he'd just smile at me this morning. Oh, mercy. I forgot my train of thought. Oh yes. Okay, no, seriously. Listen, when I'm alone in that car and I'm tired of listening to music, I can begin to talk to him. And I'm not going to be spooky with you. It's not like this all the time. But once in a while, it's like he's sitting over there. Huh? Like he's sitting there. Y'all been there. I was out in Hemet, California, preaching for Beth's brother out there, Brother Kirk Beard. Went for a long walk to exercise on a Tuesday morning. Got back to the motel room and just decided I'm going to pray for a while. And never to be experienced again since Hemet, California. Just it was like God was sitting in the chair. And I wasn't had my head bowed, my eyes closed. I wasn't looking up like I was looking just like I was talking to some. That's called practical. That's the kind of gift we got when we got salvation. Such a practical gift. How it's impacted my life. How it's impacted my marriage. How it's impacted my family. How it's impacted my purpose for being here. Such a practical thing. You asked me to describe how I have benefited in a practical way since I got saved, and I could not put it into words. I could not do it justice. Salvation is truly the gift that keeps on giving. It's indescribable. It's unspeakable because of its price. It's unspeakable because of its practicality. Number three, it's unspeakable because of its preciousness. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 7, the Bible says this, "Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious." So Peter said that Jesus is precious, but wait a minute. He did not put an adjective in front of that word. He did not say how precious, because it is more than pen or tongue can tell. Now, can I say this morning that a gift's preciousness is valued by the one who gave it? I would imagine that many of you have a little something tucked away in a box. You parents, maybe it's a little something made out of popsicle sticks. Maybe it's a little something, a piece of paper with the outline of a little hand. And maybe some glitter spread over the paper. Oh, it's not worth much. What could a popsicle ornament be worth? Popsicle stick ornament. What could a little piece of paper with a tiny little outline of a hand, what could that be worth? Well, it all depends on who gave it. We had four kids out in Iowa, and I think Luke was the first one. Well, we went to the hospital about 8:30 on a Friday night with Hannah. We went in the middle of the night with Ben. We went in the middle of the night with Abby. Luke was the only one that was in the daytime, the four that was born in Iowa. My grandmother was there from Georgia to help us. Luke came a little bit late, I think, didn't he? And Nemo was there to help us. And so it was a Wednesday afternoon, I believe it was. Yes, Wednesday afternoon. I had the teenage soul winning time, so I had to get the teenagers lined up. And then by the time I got home, my wife said, "We are going to the hospital." And so Hannah, Ben, Abby were there, my grandmother, Meemaw. And so we were gathering up the stuff to go to the hospital when Luke was born. And we jump in the car and we back out the driveway, and Hannah is standing at the bottom of at the end of the driveway. She's standing there. This was 89, so she was 8 years of age. She was 8 years old. She's standing there with an envelope. So here's an envelope, and when I back up, I roll the window down, and she says, "I want you to have this," and she handed it to her mother. And so we opened it up as we were headed toward the hospital. It just says, "Dad, dear Dad, I love you. If Mommy goes to the hospital, I want you to take my money and buy Mommy some flowers and some sweets with my money. I don't want any of it back. Please spend it all. Your daughter," I'm glad she identified herself, "your daughter, your daughter Hannah." I think there was 8 cents in that. Okay, I won't spend it all. I'll spend it all. 8 cents. There was a nickel and 3 pennies. Now, there's that letter. That thing is, how old are you, Luke? 21? I think it's 21 years old. It's a piece of paper, Brother Caleb. But it's indescribable how precious that is because of who gave it. Who was it that gave us our salvation? God, creator of the universe. He could have let the human race die and go to hell. Created a whole nother human race and let all of Adam's descendants go to hell. And created a whole other human race out of... Well, sure he could have, folks. Don't limit him. He could have taken the same hand and scooped up another handful of dust and created a second man and breathed into his nostril the breath, just like he did Adam. We'd be hopeless. But no. He said, "I love them too much to see all them go to hell." And so he gave his son. God gave us the gift of Jesus Christ and eternal life, wrapped up in that little baby. I tell you, God's gift is unspeakable because of its preciousness, the one who gave it. Amen? It is unspeakable because of its price. It's unspeakable because of its practicality. It's unspeakable because of its preciousness. It's unspeakable, fourthly, because of its permanence. John 3:16, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have what? Everlasting. Those spider bikes, long gone. They were destroyed in pretty short order, I'll be honest with you. Because we didn't have helmets and pads and all that stuff. We crashed and we had crashes and we bled real blood. And it was part of life back then. We didn't know that we needed a helmet. The spider bikes are gone. One of these days, the Matthews bowl will be gone. The time together that we spent in South Carolina because of your generosity was gone real quick. Too quick. But the gift of everlasting life will last forever. I think it was Brother Dave that sang the song not too long ago. And while the ages roll, I'll keep on praising Him. And my voice will never tire or grow old. And my song shall ever be, praise the Lamb who died for me. And I'll sing it while the ages shall roll. That's permanence. Indescribable, it's unspeakable because of its price, its practicality, its preciousness, its permanence. Let me finish with this thought. It's unspeakable because of its purity. And let me tell it to you in this way. You think, well, Jesus is a pure son of God. Yeah, but I'm not going there with this. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. There was no relationship. Think about it, folks. Think about the gifts under your tree right now. Think about the gifts that you will wrap this week. Think about the gifts that you will give. Almost every one of them, Brother Mike, is because of relationship. Has anybody here just gone out on the street and, you know, knocked on a door in Kankakee and just said, "Hey, I want to bought you something"? Anybody here done that? For Christmas this year? I think we did last year too, but this year, you know, we got ready to buy for the children and the in-laws, the two son-in-laws, and Ashley, the daughter-in-law. We include Jessica because they're engaged. So we got her the same number of gifts and spent the same money on her that we spent on Ashley and Alan and Jason. But 2 years ago, I wouldn't have given Jessica Robertson a gift. I wouldn't have walked up to Jessica Robertson and said, "Here, I bought this for you." The reason I bought her something was because of a relationship. Does that make sense to y'all? And I'm not belittling that, but the truth is, if she was not engaged to my son, I wouldn't bought her a gift. Right? But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. No relationship. No obligation. In fact, the Bible teaches us we were enemies. You talk about a pure gift. You talk about a gift unspeakable in its purity. When God gives His only Son's life for His enemies. That's pure. That's holy. That's exactly what God did while we were yet sinners. God commended His love toward us. You know how that ought to leave us this morning? Speechless. An indescribable, unspeakable gift. And I didn't touch the hem of the garment, friend. Somebody else could take this thing and run with it for another hour. Because of its price, its practicality, its preciousness, its permanence, its purity. You know the best thing about it? It's the simplicity of receiving it. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you're willing to confess that you're a sinner, you're hopeless without Christ, you believe in your heart that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for you, and you're willing to repent and turn to Christ and Christ only for salvation, that's the simplicity of receiving that gift. You turn your heart to Christ and be saved today. Can you imagine a gift so spectacular, it leaves us like this. And yet to make it mine and to make it yours, just a matter of receiving it. What a God in heaven. And if you're not saved, there is no greater time in all your life than to be born into God's family. To be born into God's family in Christmas time. This is the time we celebrate that precious gift, His unspeakable gift. Thank you for your attention. Let's bow our heads in prayer together and listen carefully now as we close the message. I wonder who's here today would say, "Pastor Angel, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I know where I'd spend eternity. I'm on my way to heaven because I've been born again into God's family. Not because I didn't say you go to church or because you've been baptized. You've been born into God's family and you know it. If you can say that in honesty this morning, would you please raise your hand and keep it there just for a second and just be honest. Don't be dishonest. Just keep it. You'll be better off to be honest. And just keep it. Thank you very much. You may take your hands down. Now, is there someone here that would say, Pastor, I don't know that. I don't know that I've been born into God's family. I could not raise my hand just then because I don't know. I couldn't honestly raise it. Now I'll raise it now and ask you to pray for me because I don't want to spend eternity apart from God and a God who loves me that much and gave that kind of gift. I don't want to spurn it. Just raise your hand and pray for you this morning. I won't call you by name. I don't know you possibly. If I did, I won't call your name anyway. Pastor Angel, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you just slip your hand right up, right back down? Let me pray for you this morning. God bless you. Is there another? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you join a couple of folks this morning? God bless you. Is there another? Not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. All right, let me talk to you just a minute who raised your hand just now. Two or three of you scattered across the room this morning. Thank you for your honesty. The most important decision you'll ever make in life is to reach out and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I sat 35 years ago in a church service like this one, and the pastor of the church gave me an opportunity to be saved. Somebody took a Bible and showed me how I could receive the gift of God, eternal life, and salvation. You think I regret that? Oh, friend, I praise God for that day a million times over. Listen very carefully. We have women who know how to show people from the Bible. We have men who know how to show people from the Bible how to be saved. In just a moment, we're going to play music. We're going to stand. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The music's going to play. Do what I did 35 years ago. I left my seat. I let somebody take a Bible and show me how to be saved. We'll give you that opportunity. I pray you'll give your heart to Christ this morning. I will pray that in just a moment. You raise your hand, you're not saved. It's an indescribable, unspeakable gift, but you must receive it. You must receive it. Who's here today? Pastor, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Somebody like that this morning, would you raise your hand? Saved but not baptized in deep water since you've been saved. Raise your hand. If you came this morning prepared to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you can come now while we get, and we'll help you get ready. So you come right now while we wait if you came this morning to be baptized. And if you come, if you need to talk to somebody about it, then you come as well in just a moment. All right, if you've been saved and baptized and you know that this is the place that God wants you to be a member, you've talked to myself or one of the men on the staff about it, we're happy to have you join this morning. Or if God spoke to your heart some way today about the unspeakable gift of God's Son, maybe it's been a while since you just literally praised Him for that gift, the altar will be open for anybody that needs to use it. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for speaking to our hearts today. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for meeting with us. Thank You, O God, for Your unspeakable gift. Now, please, I pray for any in this room who have not yet received this gift. I pray that they'll come today to give their heart to Christ. I pray for these that need to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, that they'll be obedient to do that. And you'll be pleased with that, Lord. I know You will. Any other decisions, God, would You please put it upon the hearts of the people to make that decision. And God, thank You for the unspeakable gift, which is Jesus Christ. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The ladies are playing a song of invitation. If you're not sure that you're saved, why don't you step out and come this morning and say, I'm a little embarrassed. It's all right. We'll be happy. People will rejoice. Why don't you do what I did 35 years ago? Come, let us show you how to be saved today. Would you do that while we wait? I hate to see you leave if the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart. If you're honest enough to raise your hand, why don't you come this morning? Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. That? Would you come while we wait? We have ladies to talk to ladies. We have men to talk to men. No greater day to give your heart to Christ than right now. Would you come? Will you be sorry if you leave without giving your heart to Christ this morning? Would you come? Let us show you that this morning. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you need to be baptized, now's the time to come. If you need to talk to somebody about membership, or you just want to use the altar.